Okay, as John just reminded us, so we've got union, transformation, charisms, and community. I know I keep repeating it, but that's what teachers are supposed to do, okay? So that y'all remember them. Because my hope is this can help you in a perspective, not only experiences, but have a perspective for ongoing growth and a lifestyle lived in the Holy Spirit is what we're looking to do. You know, charisms is simply the Greek word for really gratuitous gift, or in the Bible, it's for spiritual gift. Gift God gives us where he works through us to build up the body of Christ. And often when I get a chance to do workshops on charism, spiritual gifts, I'll say, well, how many people feel called to receive the gift of healing? And I often get lots of hands for that. And I say, how many of you feel called to seek the gift of administration? And very few hands go up for that one. And actually, I mean, gifts of healing are wonderful, but in terms of, you know, this weekend wouldn't have happened if you didn't have some people with gifts of administration. You know, prayer groups that really continue, they need pastors, they need good teachers, they need good prayers, they need good hospitality people, but they also need people with gifts of administration. Those are people who are real practical. You come to a weekend like this, and they say, okay, how can I use this with our prayer group? These resources, these are the right ones that will be good for our group. Oh yeah, this will be a good thing. They're the ones that think real practically, not just kind of like how I'm being touched, but what's needed and how can this be used in the groups, the ministries, the things that I'm doing, the gifts of administration. So I'm going to do a little administration work. I think Jim may have done a little bit of this, but I'm going to do a little bit more. I want to encourage you, one thing for the National Service Committee we do is try to give resources to people. And you've seen some of them. They put out some of the leaflets out there that we have. I would encourage every prayer group to get a set of all these leaflets. We have about 15 of them, and we're making a couple new ones every year. The one Jim's doing will be coming out this year. But there's one on charismatic prayer meetings. There's the one that I have on the full role of the Holy Spirit that some of you got. There's one on living baptized in the Holy Spirit. One on Catholic charismatic renewal, papal affirmation, and priestly witness. What have the Pope said about the charismatic renewal and different priests? One on Catholic charismatic renewal terms. One that I wrote on praise and worship, and I noticed that they got a bunch of them. So there's a bunch of them out there on the free desk. Okay, the free desk is always good, okay? Kind of thing, the free table. And I encourage you, because this is an area that when people come to charismatic renewal prayer meetings, and especially if you may not have quite as good a prayer ministry, music ministry as you have like here, it's the thing that's a little different about it. They say, oh, why are these priests praying out loud like that? And why are they doing this kind of thing? And if you can't explain it well, and it really can be explained well from Scripture and the Catechism and church teaching, then people think this is kind of Protestant, you know, or something like that. You know, is this Catholic? I've never been to a Catholic service like this kind of thing. And so I encourage you to grab one of these. This isn't the only resource, but to really understand the importance and the place of praise and worship. There's a whole bunch of them on charisms, a general one on gifts of the Spirit, one on the gift of prophecy, one on the gifts of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, one on discernment and discerning spirits, and then one on pastoring the word gifts. If you have a prayer group and people are using gifts, how do you encourage them, but also make sure they realize not everything they say may be from God, you know, kind of thing, you know? They got to learn to be discerning. The Bible says, do not despise prophetic utterances, but test everything and hold on to what is true. When I give talks to priests on charismatic renewal and on the Holy Spirit, I often say, I'm going to be really honest with you, brother priests. If you preach about the Holy Spirit, you're asking for trouble. Because you're going to have all these people coming to you saying, I think this is what God is telling you, me and telling you and telling the church, and you're going to have to be discerning. But if you do not preach on the Holy Spirit, your church will not become fully alive. So you have a choice. Have it a little difficult, because you're going to have to tell people to be discerning, and not everyone's going to get it right immediately. But if you preach on the Holy Spirit, you'll have a live church, people using their gifts and being able to grow in them. Okay, one I did on introduction to teaching. Some of you picked one up out there. It's so important to keep raising up teachers. And this is probably my greatest strength is in this area of teaching ministry. So it's kind of a practical thing. How do you grow in the teaching gift? One on prayer ministry, one on healing prayer. Okay, So that's all. So I encourage you. We also have two little booklets, one that specifically is on charisms, on gifts of the Spirit, and one that's on strengthening prayer groups and how to grow in strengthening prayer groups. We're also going to have one coming out this year that's about healing prayer. That's going to be coming out in probably by November. So an administrator says, oh yeah, I'm going to look at the back here. It gives the phone number and the web page for the National Service Committee. I'm going to get on that web page, and I'm going to get a set of these for our prayer group, because this would be great to pass out to new people, and this also would be good because we could do a series of teachings just based on this material here and these materials here. And that's how an administrator, gift of administration, thinks. I don't think I was initially had the gift of administration. I'm not a natural administrator. But as I got more involved and I saw the need, I started saying, Lord, I pray for this gift. And he's helped me grow in that gift, you know, of being more conscious of how things are related to the group practically to move them ahead. So anyways, I encourage you to use resources and pray for the gift of administration. Okay. Remember I said to get the 30, 60, and 100-fold, you need a sincere, genuine heart. And what we talked about this morning, if you're always seeking inner transformation, you're keeping a sincere and genuine heart. And so that's essential, because it's easy to get pulled into other things. To keep a generous heart, you need to let the Spirit work through you. And that's what the spiritual gifts, the charisms, are all about. The Holy Spirit working through you to manifest his presence in this world. And we want to be able to grow in what that means. After Jesus, remember, Jesus gets baptized, an experience of union. Jesus goes to the desert, an experience of inner transformation. Then it says, Luke's gospel, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, after being in the desert, led by the Spirit. And he goes to the synagogue, and they give him Isaiah, and he opens up the chapter 61, and he reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Remember, he's the Christ, the anointed one. Anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to be evangelist, the gift of evangelization. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, releasing people from power of evil and their brokenness, recovery of sight to the blind, healing gifts, to let the oppressed go free, gifts of mercy and freedom and loving those who are oppressed, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. This is God's year of jubilee. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Christ is here. Now all things are possible because of their presence. And he sits down and says, today the scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. And then Jesus just starts manifesting that passage. He starts healing people, start delivering people from evil spirits. He starts proclaiming the good news. He gives people forgiveness. He starts manifesting the presence of the Holy Spirit through him and through his actions. He becomes a person that's constantly using the charismatic gifts to show the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now, let me step back for a second before we start looking at charisms in particular. You know, I've worked with charismatic prayer groups since I was 17 years old. Okay, so I've worked with lots of different groups in a lot of different places, and I really believe in them. But I also believe that at times we've lost our track a little bit. What is the difference between a charismatic prayer group and a rosary prayer group, a divine mercy prayer group, a contemplative prayer group? All those are good. I love them all. I'm happy to go to all of them. But a charismatic prayer group in a particular way is focused on praise and worship, really honoring God that brings us into the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then letting the gifts of the Spirit be manifest, not only there. Your prayer group should be your training ground so that you can use the gifts in the world. Okay, they're not supposed to be just in the prayer group. The prayer group's the training ground where you learn to be docile to the Holy Spirit so that when you're going to the grocery store and you're walking by someone, and of course you're talking to your advocate, because that's always good to talk to your advocate. Don't make it look like you're talking to your advocate, you know. Oh yeah, Holy Spirit, what's that person doing over there by the eggs, you know, kind of thing. You don't have to act weird, okay, kind of thing, but you are. And sure enough, every so often the Lord's just going to tell you, see the woman by the milk? Go and introduce yourself to her. And And you find out God set up a divine appointment. For some reason, you're going to be a blessing to this person. You know, or you sense some harshness going on, and the Lord gives you a discerning spirit, that this is a spirit of anger and resentment. And without even saying something to anyone, sometimes just by you praying and taking authority, Lord, I take authority over that spirit of resentment and anger that this person seems to be experiencing in your name. It's amazing how you find that in itself will just ease it and allow there to be something to happen there. So God wants to teach us how to use the spiritual gifts in our ordinary life and everything in our life. But the prayer group should be a training ground. And the prayer group should be a place where you practice that. Now, let me give you an example. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, it talks about prayer groups. It says this: when you assemble, one has a psalm, another an instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Okay? Now, you've got those. Why? Because you have a daily prayer life. Remember I told you charismatic prayer groups don't work. If you don't have a bunch of people that are praying daily, if you're praying daily, God's consistently teaching you things, showing you things. Not that it's not how much you get that matters. In fact, sometimes it's better to get little and let it really change you than always wanting a lot, okay? But you're getting stuff, and then when you come to the prayer meeting, Holy Spirit, you've kind of built up a storehouse of anointed experiences and inspirations, things that God has been teaching you in your prayer life and during your life because you're open to the Holy Spirit. And it becomes like Jesus talks about a storehouse within you. And because you've got this storehouse, you come to the prayer meeting, sometimes God goes, pushes the button on your storehouse, beep. Hey, that one you should share with the whole group, okay? You know, not everything that you share is going to be shared with everyone, but the Holy Spirit shows you when you are to share, when you are to reach out as you become open to Him. So it says, when you assemble, one has all these things, and he says, everything should be done for building up. The purpose is to build up the body of Christ. Through hearing inspired prophetic messages, a person coming to the assembly, it says, will be convinced by everyone, judged by everyone, and the secrets of his heart will be disclosed, and so he will fall down and worship God, saying, God is really in your midst. Brothers and sisters, charismatic prayer meetings should be a place that when people come, they say, God is really in your midst. That by your praise and worship, by your openness to divine inspiration, it says people hear a word for them. They are convicted. They are convinced. They say, wow. A young gal was sharing with me earlier today, when I was doing the talk this morning, and I was just starting to talk about the seven last words of Jesus. She had her Bible open. She had this little booklet in it, and she took it out to market, and the booklet was the seven last words of Jesus. Okay. Well, that's a divine appointment, you know, the Lord, right at that moment. Oh, yeah, the seven last words of Jesus. Isn't that what he's talking about? Okay, yeah. So God does those things. And so our prayer meetings need to be placed where by our worship, by our openness to the gifts, that God speaks to people's hearts, that they truly say, God is truly in your midst. Now, how does that happen? It says, you know, that spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit. They're Spirit showing God's real presence among us. They demonstrate His presence. They convince us. We begin to drink of the Spirit. Paul says, do not quench the Spirit or despise prophetic utterances. The prayer meeting should be a demonstration of Spirit and power. One of the things I've encouraged our prayer groups in San Antonio is you have your time of praise and worship, you're open to gifts, often you'll have a teaching, but after the teaching, sometimes break into small groups and share, but also have time to just pray that God empower whatever was taught. Okay, this morning we prayed about, you know, transformation and areas of transformation. This afternoon you're going to get a chance to share a little bit about that in your groups. And tonight you're going to get a chance to pray with each other. And we believe that because you're seeking, you're open to this, and you're sharing it, and then you pray that the Holy Spirit will manifest a new grace for you, a new fruit, a new virtue. And then we should do that more in our prayer. Sometimes we only do that like after the prayer meeting when we have our prayer teams that pray with people, and that's good. But in your prayer meeting, you should have time to say, if we have heard the word of God, God wants to make that a word of spirit and power among us. And so therefore, we should pray that whatever we've heard and been taught about now be manifested through the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? That more consistently we seek to manifest, let the Holy Spirit manifest his presence through whatever we've taught. If we preached on the word of God, then the word of God has a power to touch hearts. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to do that. That is using the charisms more consistently, to pray that God shows his power and empowers people in the areas that we are talking about more particularly. Okay. Let me get into talking about charisms here. Actually, let me do something here first. I'm always changing my mind here. I want you all to stand for a moment. It's afternoon, so we need to get you standing. I'm trying to encourage you is learning to talk with the Holy Spirit as a friend. I mean, I always, since I was 17 years old, understood something about the Holy Spirit and believed in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God and the love of God and the wind of God. But it was really only until about 10 years ago that I really understood more the Holy Spirit as my advocate given to me by Jesus. That I thought of him more as an empowerer, not as a friend, not as a companion who walks with me in everything. And growing to understand him as an advocate has been a great revelation for me, because there's so much that he can do to disciple you through all the events of your life and everything that's going on in your life. Well, I was going to this... We have a family retreat at our parish every year, and it's at a camp. It's about an hour and a half drive, and I was going to be giving a talk. And these family retreats, you know, you have everything from the tiny little kids to the grandmas and everything in between. And so I was kind of praying and singing to the Lord, and the Lord gave me a song. Now this is, you know, I have no gift of music, okay? And I can sing a little bit, but, you know, even that's not that great. But, you know, sometimes for a particular calling, the Lord gives you a gift. Some gifts are ongoing, and some are just for a certain moment. And so while we're doing this, I just got this little song that I've used with kids and other people and stuff. And now it's not going to make the top 10 charts of Christian music, but, you know, it goes like this. You put your two hands together. One hand's you, one hand's Jesus, okay? And just listen first time, and then I'll bring you into it. Goes like this. Jesus, 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 Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands. And the second time, instead of just going back to Jesus, Jesus, you turn to the people next to you and you put your hands between them and you share some Jesus. You go, Jesus, Jesus, and you turn to all the people around you and you share some Jesus with them. So the first part is it's you and Jesus, it's union, and we keep doing it because we got to get close to Jesus. We take Jesus into our heart, into our brain, into our feet so we can walk with him and serve, into our hands so we reach out. And then the second time, we reach out and share Jesus with those around us. Okay, so let's do this once together. Ready? Jesus, 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 Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands. Now share some Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You got to move, get more people. Go to three or four people. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus in my heart. Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands, Jesus in my heart, Jesus in my brain, Jesus in my feet, Jesus in my hands. Amen. Sit down. Now, if God can give me that little song, he can give anyone all kinds of things, okay? Because, boy, that's not my usual gifts at all, okay? What I want to do is give you a little teaching now specifically on what the charisms, the spiritual gifts, are. To give you some background and then to kind of lead us into what the Lord may be saying to you about which gifts you should seek and should be open to. Charisms are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to let us become channels of God working through us. If manifesting, it says they are manifestations of the Spirit. Through spiritual gifts, when we're serving someone, when it's a true spiritual gift, I mean, obviously there's service and there's lots of natural gifts that people have and things, and those are all great. We all need to use those too. But in a spiritual gift, somehow, by our use of it, the person is sensing not just us, but Jesus, God, working through this gift. They manifest God's presence, that He's working out. And that's the difference between simply a natural gift and a spiritual gift. It's empowered with the presence of God to touch hearts, to show them that God is truly with us. It says that they are given for building up the church, for encouragement, and for solace or consolation. The gifts console people when they're sad and down. They encourage people. They build up the church. They strengthen us. They allow us to be able to be vessels of God. The Catechism says, there's a whole section on charisms. If you look it up in the Catechism, it says they should be used in charity for service and building up of the church, and that they're essential for the life of the church. I am writing a book right now. Pray for me. Trying to get it done, called the Hierarchical and Charismatic Church. The Vatican Council said the church is both hierarchical, that means the kind of order of the leadership of the Pope and the bishops and priests and deacons and so on that Jesus set up and the church set up, but it's also charismatic. We need all your gifts. We need every gift God does. And the charismatic nature of the church is not only charismatic renewal. You know that the rosary is a charismatic prayer. It wasn't part of the original structure of the church. Over the centuries, certain people felt inspired by certain prayers and ways of praying, and eventually the rosary developed. Divine mercy is a charismatic prayer. It wasn't part of the Bible or the early church. The sentiments are there. But at some point, someone received, Sister Faustina, a revelation about this prayer as a way to build this up. Every religious community is not part of the hierarchical part of the church. Jesuits, Franciscans, Sisters of Charity. At some point, a person was inspired by the Spirit to give a certain witness in the church, a manifestation of the Spirit for the good of the church. That is part of the charismatic dimension of the church. The charismatic renewal, simply, we focus on being a reminder in the church of the importance of the charismatic dimension. Of course, we all need the hierarchical dimension too. That's essential. The two have to work hand in hand with each other. But we're called to be a reminder. Sometimes it's easy to forget. Christianity becomes just moralism. I try to be a good person. You know, and the sense that Jesus needs to live in us and the power of the Holy Spirit can get lost. And that He's the one that makes it possible for us to really be a good person, really be a loving person inside. In the scriptures, there's four areas that have mentioned gifts of the Spirit. In Romans 12, it mentions prophecy, ministry or service, teaching, exhortation, almsgiving, and works of mercy. In 1 Corinthians 12, it mentions word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, administration, and hospitality. In Ephesians 4, it mentions apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. In 1 Peter 4, it mentions hospitality, preaching, and service. Now, most scholars would believe that because there's a variety of lists, these aren't meant to be all the gifts of the Spirit. That these are some of the ways the Holy Spirit manifests His presence. I like to say that any calling in your life can become a charism. Let's say those that are in music ministry. Yeah, you got to work at it. You got to get a certain talent in order to do those things or have a certain gift for singing. But if you really surrender your music and your singing to the Lord, He makes it a charism. That you begin to experience an aid in your singing, an enthusiasm in your singing, even abilities in your singing, an inspiration in your singing, that you know that's more than me. That isn't just me. You know, I'm trained as a teacher because I was in a teaching community. But people who are trained as teachers don't necessarily have the gift of teaching. And so I began to praise. And tell you the truth, I was not a good teacher right away. I was a high school teacher, and I can't tell you I went and I was a great teacher right away. I said, I wasn't. But I'm a learner. I try to be a disciple. So I asked the Holy Spirit, okay, how do I do this better? Let me learn this. Let me teach it. And I prayed for the gift of teaching, or gift of homilies, gift of preaching. And you know, in my life, I always say, Holy Spirit, you're just so good. So often, when I'm giving a homily in Mass, you know, I mean, I plan it well. I pray over it, and I'd say, Lord, what do you think you're doing? What are you saying and everything? But I try to listen all the way up to the last second. Really do, before Mass, even during Mass. Sometimes someone will say something to me right before Mass, and that'll just, oh yeah, that'd be good, add that one, okay, kind of thing. Or I'll get a focus will come to me. You know, I'm sitting there listening to the readings, and I'll be pulling my pen out of my pocket. Altar servers don't know what he's doing there. And I'd say, oh, God just showed me something here. Let's write this down, kind of thing. It's good to get in that attitude of letting the Holy Spirit teach you, and that he then, you know, to me it's so clear that the preaching and teaching is beyond, I mean, it works with the individual person. I still preach in my personality, my style, so to speak, but, and people have different styles, but there's a grace of the Holy Spirit that goes beyond that style as we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit working in us. So I believe in any calling, when God calls you to something, you should ask to be empowered to do that, right? God's doing it, he wants to give you his love and power and wisdom to do it. And so you should pray for an empowerment, a gift of the Spirit, which may be for just one particular event or maybe an ongoing gift, depending on how God's working. Charisms are not inherited from your parents or achieved through education and practice. They are truly gifts given by God. They're supernaturally empowered. They go beyond our human abilities with a love and a power and a wisdom that's more than ourselves. As disciples of Jesus, we offer our whole self to him, our personalities, our talents, our experiences, our background, our education. And as we offer them to the Lord, some of them he will use to become a spiritual gift, you know, that he makes and empowers it in a more particular way in your life. But they're not the same as natural gifts. Like I said, in a spiritual gift, because you're doing it, somehow the other person should sense God is behind this. The Holy Spirit is manifesting himself in the midst of that gift. Even when it seems simple, okay? You have a gift of service, so you help set up the chairs, and you're a person that's really alert to how to serve people and be a present to people. Gifts of hospitality is a kind of a service. A person that when they come into a group, they don't first look for their friends. They're always looking for the person who's new or no one knows, and they're just alert to that. They're attentive to that because they have this gift of hospitality. And maybe not at that moment when someone sees and they say, oh man, the Holy Spirit's really working through them. But over a period of time, people see that this person has such a heart just to serve, and they're not focused on themselves and their own wants and needs. And so not every moment do people say, oh, this is the Holy Spirit. But over time, they say, wow, there's something in that person's service that's beyond what I normally see. Because the Holy Spirit is empowering that service, is empowering that hospitality towards others. Okay. It's important to know that we have, you know, the traditional seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are really the gifts from Isaiah 11. And they're really more gifts of the gifts of the Messianic King that we share in. They really enable us to have godly characteristics in the way we are leaders. They help us to see things with wisdom and be able to be good leaders. So they're often called sanctifying gifts, but even that I don't think is the best way to describe them. They're more gifts that enable us to have the godly characteristics in the way that we lead and serve that we need to have. The fruit of the Spirit I talked about this morning in Galatians, again, are all more the characteristics of Jesus that allow us to use the gifts well. So it's one thing to use our gifts, but to do them with the characteristic, the sincere, genuine heart of Jesus. And so the fruits of the Spirit help us to have that genuine sincerity of heart in the ways that we use our gifts with each other. But in Paul, we see these charismatic gifts that are really meant for the service of the community. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says this: the church recognizes and encourages the use of charisms since they benefit the church. They are wonderfully rich graces for the apostolic vitality and for the holiness of the entire body of Christ. They are to be accepted with gratitude by the person who receives them and by all members of the church as well. So the church sees this, encourages this. Not all the priests and religious education structures you know are aware of the grace. That's why we have to help people to understand that this is fully Catholic. There was just had a big conference a couple years ago in Rome with the Office of the Lady, with the Charismatic Renewal, specifically on the charisms. And that all the recent popes, John Paul II, Benedict, have really encouraged the Charismatic Renewal to say, you have an important role in reminding the church of the importance of the charismatic dimension of the church. In fact, the last two popes have both said that the hierarchical dimension of the church and the charismatic dimension of the church are co-essential. Co-essential means they're just as important as the other. Sometimes in the Catholic Church, partly in reaction to the Protestants, we emphasize the hierarchy. And believe me, the hierarchy is essential. But it's co-essential. The hierarchy by itself, without the free working of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic dimension of the church is not all of the Catholic Church. It is not all of what we should be. Also, just all the charismatic dimension of the church, without being tested by the hierarchical dimension of the church, gets out of hand, and you get what the Protestants have. There's no discernment, there's no hierarchy, so one church breaks off from another, and you got thousands and thousands and thousands of churches. So believe me, the hierarchical dimension is essential. But at the same time, we got to have the charismatic, and both of the last two popes have been very strong in saying this. It hasn't yet gotten through all the layers of the church yet. But understand how important they see the calling we have within the church community in the charismatic renewal. Okay. Is God calling you to seek and strive eagerly for a charismatic gift? Say yes louder. Yes. Okay, try it again. Is God calling you to seek and strive eagerly for a particular charismatic gift?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to try and convince you that why you said yes, okay? St. Paul says four times, strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts, the charisms. He says, yeah, make love your aim. It's all it's got to be doing love. That's why you need that inner transformation. It keeps you loving and focused on love. But he says, strive eagerly because I want to touch people. I want to show people that I'm alive. And the spiritual gifts are ways people get touched and they experience God is truly in your midst. They manifest the living presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God as Daddy. And so Jesus wants you to have gifts. Not for little merit badges, you know, like when you're a Boy Scout or Girl Scout, you know, look at me, I got swimming, camping, you know, cooking, whatever all these things are. They're not a sign of merit. They're a sign of a generous heart that wants to let God work through you for others. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to have these gifts, not again as a merit badge. He wants to work through you to touch people. We all know all kinds of people that have no sense as Jesus being a living person. Even people who come to churches and they believe in what Catholic Church believes, but they have no sense of Jesus as a living person dwelling within them, who they love with their whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and they experience his inner love and guidance. And so we need the Holy Spirit because he's the one who makes that come alive for us, who makes that come alive. So yes, I hope you want to strive eagerly for the spiritual gift. Now strive means you got to do a little work. It's not like, oh yeah, God, I'll take any gift that you want me to have. Just don't make me do anything for it, okay? For example, when I started going to prayer groups when I was 17 years old in high school, the way the Lord worked with me, he used to give me what I would call a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Usually in the prayer group was going and something that struck me in my prayer time, the Lord would just be teaching me through what I was hearing or something that had been happening in my prayer time, and he'd be showing me some insight. A word of knowledge can be a word of someone being healing, but it also can be simply an inspired knowledge of the faith. It's like a mini teaching that God inspires in you. Okay, and that's what God would do. He'd give me that inspirational little teaching to share, or he'd give me a word of wisdom. I think God is calling us to respond in this way. This is how he wants us to respond. And I would share those things. And after a period of time, a number of years, I felt the Lord calling me to say, you know, sometimes words of wisdom, knowledge is more God kind of gives it to you in your mind, and then he gives you a kind of inner anointing, an inner sense that you should share it. When I was young, it used to be bigger because I didn't like to share. So the God would get my heart going and would go, boom, 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 boom. Okay, I know I'm supposed to share. All right. He had to get my attention seriously back in those days. As I learned to relax with it more, it's usually much more gentle, okay? The Lord just gives a sense of his presence, his urging, some sense, just the sense that this connects perfectly in what he's doing, and I just sense this is something that he has me to share. But other times, he gives a more, what we call a prophecy, where he just gives you like a word or a thought or an image, and he doesn't give you the whole message. But he just gives you that thought or word, and then you get this anointing, you get this inner sense that God's saying, yeah, I want you to speak this. And I didn't like that. I'm a control freak. I like to have the whole thing first before I talk. And I felt God saying, Bob Hogan, I know you're a control freak, but I want to teach you how to trust me more. And so I want to start teaching you how I'm going to start giving you just a word or a thought or an image. And then when you get that sense of my presence, you just speak and you trust that the rest is just going to come to you. Okay, so what I did is I started striving first. I started reading books on prophecy, talking to people who I felt were strong in that gift, and eventually I went to a person that I felt was strong in that gift and asked them to pray over me that I would have a greater openness and manifestation of that particular gift. And I started having a greater openness and manifestation of that gift. And that was a blessing for me too because I am a little bit of a control freak, okay? And God was trying to teach me how to just let go and trust. And I still use words of wisdom and knowledge because sometimes God wants to give you a message that sinks into you longer and deeper and gets pondered a little bit. So God wants both. He wants us to both be able to spontaneously trust God, but also really to let things enter deeply within us. So God was teaching how to be open to a particular gift. Okay. I am going to go through a list of six types of gifts. And I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. That there can be certain signs that God is calling you to be open to certain gifts. I think almost all these gifts, at some point or another, God's going to call you to be open to. Like I said, some are more consistent gifts. Others are ones for a particular moment, like me getting a song kind of thing. But listen close. Listen to these. This, putting them in these six, they're my categories. There's lots of ways of categorizing these things, so this isn't the be-all and end-all method, but it's the way I find helpful in working with groups. First of all, we have prophetic gifts. Prophetic gifts are the gifts of being open to God giving you his word interiorly. Prophetic gifts really build on a prayer life. As you're praying, praising God, quieting, listening to, reading scripture, praying with it, conversing with God, the Lord will give you a sense of his word sometimes that you just know is more than the normal thing. You're reading the scripture, and you're just reading it, and it's good, you're liking it, but then one line, whoa, that one's for you. Stop. Read that through a few times. Ask me what I'm trying to say to you, and God's going to unveil what he's trying to teach you. Like I said, that can happen at a movie, I told you yesterday, especially when it's a dumb movie, okay? Ask God, this is stupid, do something positive here, okay? And sure enough, a line, a phrase, an image will hit you, and God will teach you something. That can be a spiritual gift, right in the middle of nowhere, you know, or some dumb movie. Prophetic gifts, first of all, is hearing God's word for yourself. If any of your prayer group leaders are interested, you can contact Jim or Gary or the national office. I have a 6-week workshop for prayer groups on how to be open to spiritual gifts. First, how to hear God for yourself, and then how to hear God where he's calling you for all the gifts of the Spirit. I'd be very happy to send that to people if you're interested. It's kind of 6 weeks with outlines and readings for each day and things like that to help groups, because some of our prayer groups have become less and less charismatic. There's less and less use of the gifts. There's less and less manifestations of the Spirit. There's less and less people coming in and saying, truly, God is in your midst. And so we have to keep stirring up this. We have to keep teaching about the charismatic gifts and praying with people so these gifts get stirred up, because God will touch people more as we stir up these gifts. So prophetic gifts are both, if you're growing in a hunger for reading Scripture, you're beginning to grow in a love for prayer and really wanting to be guided by God, you should probably pray for prophetic gifts to grow in you. 95% of what you hear will be for you, okay? And that's what it's supposed to be. The Lord will love to teach you and walk with you and show you things. But then, some of it he's going to have you share with others. And it's going to be a prophetic word. Now, a prophetic word doesn't always have to be, you're in the grocery store and you say, the Lord saith that you should have butter, not margarine, kind of thing and stuff. So, okay, it doesn't have to come out that way, okay? But seriously, if you're open to the Holy Spirit, sometimes in the grocery store, as I said, God's going to put something on your heart for someone. And you don't have to tell them that God told you this. If it's truly from God, they will sense the manifestation. In fact, if you tell them it's from God, well then, sometimes that's worse, because you want them to experience it's from God, not you telling them it's from God. Okay? So if it's really from God, you don't have to tell them it's from God. They'll know it's from God. They may not know it right away, but if it's truly a manifestation of the Spirit, they'll experience God reaching out to them. So it's usually better not to tell them it's from God. I mean, sometimes if it's someone you really know, say, I was praying and this kind of struck me and I think the Lord wanted me to share it with you, and ask them, always ask permission. Don't give people a word when they don't want it. Whether you like this or not, God told me to tell you this. Please do not do that. I have to deal with so many cases because of people who do that. But if you sense something, to say, if there's someone that you know and they go to prayer meeting, say, in my prayer time, there's something that was hitting me. Is it okay if I share with you? Ask permission. And if someone that you don't know at all, just go up to them and say, hi, I'd like to meet you. What's your name? Would you mind talking for a little bit? Or whatever kind of thing. Or if you're talking with someone, they share something that's been difficult in their life, you say, would it be okay if I say a little prayer with you? And let the Holy Spirit manifest a gift of prayer, a gift of healing prayer for that person. Or just a gift that empowers them to sense God's with them. Because God will use that in that prayer. He'll do that. I got in the habit when I was a college teacher, whenever a student would come to my office that I had in class who was really seeking, someone that really wasn't involved in their faith, but because they came to my office when they didn't have to come to my office, that meant they're seeking, right? And Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open to you. Okay? And I take that as word. So after listening and talking with them and everything, I'll say to them, is it okay if I say a prayer with you? And they said, Jesus said, when you ask, you shall seek. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock. And you're clearly seeking. I'm going to say a prayer that this week the Holy Spirit's going to do something to show you that that Jesus is real and God is there for you. I said, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I believe you're seeking. So Jesus promised it. So we're going to pray for it. And sure enough, something always happens. Sometimes they forget all about it. And Thursday comes along and something happens. And they say, oh my gosh. They don't know God yet, so they say gosh instead of God. Okay, oh my gosh, that was God. So we have to start trusting that. We got to start trusting, following that inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do it with gentleness and respect, as the Bible says. It says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have inside, but do it with gentleness and respect. So again, don't clobber people on the head. Ask their permission, be gentle, listen first, show that you're really interested in them, not just giving your message to them, and God will use these things. God wants us to be more charismatic, more open to the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So these are prophetic gifts. I think pretty much everyone should be open to prophetic gifts, because remember it said about Prophet Joel, when the Holy Spirit comes, the youngest to the oldest will prophesy and dream dreams. So prophetic gifts are pretty much all of us should be seeking and open to those gifts. Second area is leadership gifts. Leadership gifts include pastoring, teaching, administration, and exhortation. Let me say a little bit about each. Pastoring is more people that are kind of the leaders of a group. Pastoring gifts are people that really have a heart for the whole group. They're usually people who have a good sense of working with people, but they're people who want to serve. They're people that help the group work together and come together. They're shepherds. The word pastor means a shepherd. And so people with pastoring gifts are not just the priestess pastor, and that's important, but you also, anyone, if you're called to help lead some kind of group, you should be praying for pastoring gifts. The heart for these people, how to fit them together, how to encourage their gifts, those are all pastoring gifts. Secondly, administration gifts. Those are the ones that are the more practical things that are needed to help the group move ahead. They're real practical thinkers. What needs to get done? What are my resources? What would help us move ahead? A great leadership team is if you have pastoring people and administrative people. The pastoring people are not always good administrators, okay? They're great at loving the people and encouraging the people and maybe teaching, but maybe aren't great at administrators. The administrators may not be as great at people skills, but they really have those practical knowledge to move things ahead and the inspiration to do so. Teaching gifts are a type of leadership gift because you're helping form the community. And so to pray for those teaching gifts. If you just love reading the scriptures, the catechism, spiritual reading books, maybe God is calling you to be open to a teaching ministry because you have a hunger for the Word of God. And you find yourself reflecting on what this means in your life. And maybe you like to journal and you jot things down that strike you. That may be a sign that God's calling you to be open to a gift of teaching developing in your life. And finally, just exhortation. Exhortation is more a leadership gift of someone who just knows how to move people ahead. Okay, they just know when to encourage them, when to challenge them. The Holy Spirit just shows them what's needed in this group, okay? And they're able to really exhort people. They're really to kind of get the energy out of us and move us ahead. And some people really have that gift in a special way. The priest that I told you that was the football player that had a big influence on me, he probably wasn't a great teacher, but he was a great exhorter. He was, I mean, not just because he was 6'3 and 240 pounds, but kind of thing, but he just pulled people into stuff. He just had a gift of exhorting, and it was real, it was genuine. I mean, it wasn't put on at all. He just had this joy in the Lord and exhorting people to say, I believe in you. God is working in you. He's able to, wonderful gift of that. I've got a little better than that. It's not my natural gift either, but God has helped me to grow in that one. So leadership gifts, of pastoring, teaching, administration, exhortation. The third would be service gifts. Service gifts can mean a variety of things. It can mean people who are just have a heart to serve. They notice exactly what's needed, and they just love it. They don't, you know, my mother has a wonderful service gift. You know, I mean, I told you about her talking. Let me say something nice about her, because I told you about her talking too much, okay? My mother, I mean, like for me, if I was cooking a dinner and I was expecting 7, and at the last moment another 6 showed up, I would be perturbed. Okay, I don't have that natural gift of service. I seek to grow in it, okay, but I have to pray about it. My mother would be like, all right, more people, come on in. All right, oh, we'll throw a few things together here. We just love that. She just has such a heart. It doesn't faze her. In fact, she's happy that she can do more work to do something. She's got this joy in serving people, and any opportunity is better. I have to work through it to get to that point. It doesn't come automatically for me. Okay, me, it's, I'm glad to serve, but Lord, let's keep it kind of pattern and, you know, kind of thing and stuff. So people have, some people, hospitality gifts. They just have that sense, like I said before, of welcoming people. Contributors, financial contributors can be a spiritual gift. Some people who just have a sense, Lord, I'm taking that 10% and maybe even more than 10%, and I have a prayed over plan of how I serve God's people with this money. I give certain percentage to the church, I give certain percentage to the needy, and I give certain percentage to the things that I feel you're calling me to support, Lord, spiritual movements or whatever you're calling me to. And this person takes that seriously. And they're open when God calls them to give money for something that's needed. And brothers and sisters, that can be a powerful spiritual gift, those who have the gift of financial contribution. Okay, and finally, works of mercy. Some people, I mean, we're all called to show mercy and do works of mercy for the poor, the orphan, the elderly, the sick. You know, you all know the works of mercy. But some people have a spiritual calling and gift of works of mercy. They have such a heart for the needy. They just, you know, as soon as they see a need of someone who's poor or downcast, going through a hard time, their heart of compassion goes out to them. And they just love to serve. And the people experience God there. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. But not even more than that, as these people are serving, as they do for the least of their brothers and sisters, the people say, God is reaching out to me through you. I experience God's love and mercy through what you're doing for me. Some of you are called to that. Some of you have to take care of elderly parents that are having difficulties. Some of you have to take care of children that have serious sicknesses or problems or difficulties. And God is calling you to be a servant of mercy. Pray for the gift of mercy. Pray for the gift of works of mercy. That you, God will empower you, that he will shine through you in these acts of mercy to show his love to others. Okay, so those are various kinds of service gifts we have for each other. Let's see here, we'll finish up. Number four is evangelization gifts. Every one of us is called to share the good news. So everyone should pray for this gift in some fashion. But some people really have this gift. Some people, God bless them. You know, that they're just, man, my best friend in high school, we both kind of met the Lord at the same time and everything. And I mean, he's naturally outgoing, so he was naturally a people person. But he goes into a room or goes somewhere, and he just meets everyone. And sure enough, in a very short period of time, he's telling someone about Jesus. He just, and it's totally natural for him. I mean, it's not put on, it's not forced, it's just... He just got this gift of evangelization. God gives me that gift too, but I got to pray more about it, okay? I got to let him work me into it more than my friend. He really has this gift. But pray for that gift. And I don't care. Remember, I'm not naturally a super outgoing kind of person. I'm more of a quiet, introverted kind of person. And so for the Lord to help me to be more of an evangelist was something that had to be discipled into me. It's not something that came naturally. But God has done that. I don't do it as much as my friend does, but I'm much more open to that, and I have experiences of on planes and other places of being able to share and evangelize that God has done that. So don't worry about whether you're quiet or talkative or whatever you are. If you believe you are so loved by Jesus and you're so moved by how he's touched you, to pray for that. I just did training last week. We have our life team in our parish, and we train the older kids. They make their confirmation when they're sophomores. The older ones who stay with the program, we train them to help us with the program. And so I was doing their training, and part of the training is how to share about Jesus. So basically, I teach them how to put together a testimony. And most of them just say, oh, I don't know what to share, I don't know what to share. So you just got to help with things. I said, who was a person that showed you that God was real? Grandmother, friend, teacher. Think about a person that made God real for you. Who was that person? Okay, jot that down. What was some event you went to where you really sensed God was real and he was there? A retreat, a talk, a mass. As you say, when Father Hogan was preaching, right? Okay. And help them go through things. They all have things where that struck them. An event, a person, prayer experience, something where they sense God was there with them. And what we do is we have them do that and then pray with it, and then I said, now put them in a little bit of an order, and also we also go through scripture. I give them a list of about 34 passages from the Gospels, stories of Jesus. And I say, you go through as you pray, see which ones really strike you. I want you to know five of them so well that you can tell anyone about them. I mean, you don't have to have them memorized word for word, but you can tell the story of it. You know, we all should do that, know that. Five scripture passages that so move you that you could tell anyone about it. So I said, you got your scripture passage, you got your person, you got your event, you got your experience. Now put it into a little testimony. And then they share them, and they're just so great seeing these high school kids sharing about how God touched them. And as they do it, other ones are saying, oh yeah, that something like that happened in my life too. And as they share it, the Spirit's among us, so he's awakening people to see how God has touched them. That's why it's important that you have your sharing time this afternoon. As you share, even if you think it's not that important, God will touch someone. It helped me that after my high school retreat I shared with you last night, this priest began to invite us to go and help him with retreats. He would do a lot of retreats at Catholic schools, and I said, this is great, he got me out of school, that was always good. And I thought it would be like our retreats, just 15 people, you know, and I would have to share a little testimony, and I thought that's okay, just a little group kind of thing. And so we go into this, and he wouldn't say much to us. We would go to this retreat house, we walk into this room, and it's this whole junior class of an all-girls school, about 90 girls, okay, with a nun on each door so they couldn't escape, okay? I mean, that's what it felt like anyways. I mean, there were nuns at the doors, but... And the girls didn't look too happy to be there. It's not this wasn't like a Steubenville retreat and everyone, all right, let's be more great. They were like, And I remember I got really nervous. And luckily, I went about third. And luckily, it wasn't a podium like this. It was a full podium. Like here, this podium's not good because if you're nervous, you can see your knees going, you know, like this, like this. So I had a full podium, so at least they couldn't see how much I was shaking. And I felt bad afterwards. I just felt like I didn't remember what I said. I was so nervous and everything. But God is good all the time. You know, we broke up to go to groups. We're supposed to lead little sharing groups. And two of the girls came up to me and said, something I had said had really touched them. And God was saying, see? Don't worry about whether you're perfect. Don't worry whether you got all the right perfect words. Do it to serve me, and I will use it. And that was an important message. It made me realize I don't have to have it all together. As long as I'm giving myself to the Lord, remember what Jesus said, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So anyone that's willing to labor, he'll use you. He doesn't have enough laborers. Laborers are those who are let the Spirit work through you for God's glory. So believe me, don't worry about whether you got it all together. He'll disciple you into what he wants you to do. He's so good at it, and it's so exciting to see him doing that. Okay, those are evangelization gifts. Finally, fifth, it would be healing gifts. The Lord calling you to pray with people, to manifest the Lord's presence in spiritual, physical, mental healing. Many people are called to that. And finally, what I would call the fifth type of gift, I would call spiritual battle gifts. Spiritual battle gifts include discernment. Discernment helps you to tell if this is an evil spirit, this is the world, the flesh, what's working here behind this situation. That's discernment of spirits. The gift of tongues is a gift of prayer, but it's also a spiritual battle gift. It's the Spirit praying in you to show you what is needed in a situation. As you pray in tongues, the Spirit opens you to what's really going on oftentimes. The gift of intercession is a spiritual battle gift. You're interceding that God overcomes whatever barriers that's keeping God's work from happening or touching people's lives. You intercede. And the gift of deliverance was a particular kind of prayer, praying for release of any power of evil or evil spirits in people's lives. And since those are spiritual battle gifts, they enable us to make war against evil and open people up to God in their lives. So, I want to encourage you, in the little time you have in your sharing this evening, leading up to tonight, to say, is God calling you to be more open to prophetic gifts? Is he calling you to be open to some leadership types of gifts, pastoring, teaching, administration, exhortation? Is he calling you that he says, mainly you're kind of a practical person, and you love to serve, that he wants to give and empower that service even more so that God may shine through you in that service? And that service can include works of mercy, helping, contributing, hospitality. Fourth, evangelizing gifts. Do you sense God's been leading you to want to share more your faith? One more, share more about Jesus with others. Five, prayer, healing, ministry kinds of gifts. That God's giving you a greater heart to pray with people and for people. So he wants to empower you in that area. And finally, these kind of spiritual battle gifts. That you just sense God's calling you to more, help overcome the things that keep people stuck and do spiritual battle through discernment, intercession, tongues, deliverance prayer. God's calling you to be open to those gifts. And we're going to, like I said, in your small groups this afternoon, you'll get a chance to share a little bit about what struck you first in the first talks about union with God and inner transformation, and what do you think God may be calling you to seek and be open to. And then secondly, to share about what struck you about this talk on charism, spiritual gifts, and which of these, something stirring inside of you, the Holy Spirit stirring. Now again, if there's no stirring, then don't worry about it, okay? But as you hear about these and you focus on them and you're praying and you say, Lord, I give you myself for your good, God will want to be giving you certain spiritual gifts. Like I said, some are just for a moment. Some are more consistent gifts that he'll be working in you regularly. But to be able to do that so that you will see him manifest those gifts. And like I said, I encourage you, use them in your prayer groups. Have time to pray with each other that whatever you're teaching on, that you then pray that God will manifest that grace of what you're teaching on. That God will make that present to people. And it's amazing how God will do that, just out of the blue, if you trust that. It also shows people that everyone has gifts. You know, a lot of times at our healing masses and other things, I don't pray with people. Because sometimes people think the priests have more magic or something and he's praying for people, okay? And we have a role, and we are called to do certain. Priests have real strong healing gifts, so I'm not saying never do it. But my sense is, my call is more to raise people's gifts. You know, I think priests sometimes forget that. We have a sacramental role, and that's very important. But really, our role also is to raise up everyone else's gifts. And so I try to more show them how to raise their gifts than let them do it. And say, you don't need me to be doing this. Okay? Every one of you is gifted by the Holy Spirit. So let's be open to those gifts. Amen.